Well, bless you. Hallelujah. So awesome, guys. Hey, it's good to be here. And yeah, Marie and I have been on a little bit of an adventure. Let me just say, I can't hardly believe that Abigail and Mike are here. That is about as random as it can get. You know, of course, nothing's much random. But for some of my dearest friends to be in Williamsburg the same time, Marie and I have been all over the country in the last 3 or 4 months, and for them to be in Williamsburg when we land in Williamsburg is just almost hard for me to fathom. But it's so good to see you guys, and there's some powerful people. These guys can minister and ministered along with. Abigail for a long time, and she's somebody you can trust. It's a good and I found a sailor among us. Now that's almost like God just dropping manna from heaven for me, right? He's like Marie and I. One of the things, since we've gone on the road, we sold a sailboat because we obviously it's not practical for what we're doing now, and we've missed that. And so when I find out there's a sailor among us, I got excited. So anyway, let's get started this morning. And just as we sit here, let's just take a moment. Lord, would you come? Holy Spirit, come. We just ask you to fill this place. Fill this place. Would you move among us? Would you surprise us with what you have for us? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord says that you're a blossom. It's like there's been this time where you've been in that bulb type mode, and the God says it's opening. It's this thing you're opening up, and the beauty that has been being held at birth in you. I don't know what you just come through, but it seems like you've gone through some stuff that has maybe felt very hard. But He's said the bulb is opening, nice. And that this flower that you are is going to be fully revealed. So just expect it's going to feel different to you. There's going to be changes in the way you. Even the way you think, it's almost you're going to notice it in the way you breathe. It's almost like air is there that has been hard to come by. And so just in the spirit, I bless you. And I bless this season as you come alive, as this awakening season that you're entering into. Man, does that make any sense?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Matthew 6. We're going to be in Matthew 6 for a little while, okay? And as I say that, I'm going to start with something for Matthew 10, but just hang on to 6 because we're going to live there. Matthew 10, verse 1, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And then verse 7, he says, and as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Love this passage, and we get this picture of just the commissioning that Jesus does over his disciples, but it's actually for us too. You know, there were 12 disciples that we see a commission come. And then what we forget is that right after that, we have a time where I think it's Luke 5, where he commissions 72, right? And he commissions 72 more. And what I love about the commissioning of the 72 is it sounds just like the one he did with the 12, right? Go out and go do the stuff that I've been doing in my name, in my authority. But what's so important about the 72 is that they're not the inner circle. They're not the A-team. You know, we know the 12. Okay, it makes sense. They're living with, they're hanging out with. The 72 were kind of that second perimeter around Jesus. And those guys who actually I probably identify more with, these guys get the same commission. And so we're carrying the same commission to go and declare the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, what's that mean? Let's talk for a minute. I'm going to tell you a story, kind of how I got into some of what we're doing. Many years ago, I met this crazy woman here, and they were Abigail, let me be clear, it wasn't Marie I was talking about. Just clarity here. But no, I met Abigail, and there was a church plant that was being planted where I lived, and I just was not into everything going on. Let me just tell you, my first experience with Vineyard, thought that was the weirdest bunch of people I'd ever been with. They did things I had never seen before, and I was super uncomfortable with.
Yes.
But somewhere in that process of trying to recruit Marie and I to come join that church plant, we were asked if we'd like to go, or I was asked if I'd like to go on a mission trip. Went on this mission trip, and I went on the trip because it just sounded like a bit of an adventure. We went to Colombia in 1992. Colombia in 1992, think cartels, think civil war. It was not a real easy place to be. And I just thought it sounded like a great adventure. And so I decided to go. Now, one of the things I told them on the airplane as we were flying in, we have a national leader from the Vineyard who's kind of overseeing the trip. And this guy, I didn't like much when I first met him. I thought, this guy is rough. I don't know if this guy is even saved. Now, I'm being a little facetious, but it was just, I was very concerned about what I'd gotten into on this airplane. And I just told them, I said, here's what I want you to understand. I'm here to just carry your bags, wash the purses. All you guys on that ministry team, you can go do whatever that weird stuff you do. You lay hands on people, you pray in like that. I mean, all that stuff outside of my comfort zone, y'all go do it. Well, the first night of the meetings we were in a city called Bucaramanga. And I sat on the back row as far as I could be from the platform while the rest of this team of seven or eight people sat up on the front. Well, the guy who was leading the trip was speaking, and he began to teach, and he was teaching something I had never heard. It was five steps of healing, or five-step healing model. Anybody here ever heard of that? Mm-hmm. I thought you probably had. Right? Anybody else?
Yes.
Okay, I knew one person. Okay, that's good. Okay, we're Vineyard in the right place. So I had never heard any of that. And so I'm on the back row. I pull out a tablet, and I'm writing down the step one. Ask the person who they are and what's wrong. Step two. And I just began to write. Well, when we got to the end of his talk, again, I'm pretty fascinated with it. He says, we're going to do some demonstrations now. And in order to demonstrate, I'm going to have like the least experienced person on our team come up. Dude, would you come up on the platform? And I was like, you're out of your mind. I told you specifically, I am not getting up. So I am now on the spot. I walk up, I get on the platform. He hands me the microphone. He leans in my ear and he says, somebody here has an elbow that won't open or close, and it's got some problem, and you're going to heal it. And he stepped off the platform and sat down. And so I'm standing here, terrified. And I said, Marie and I went to Oral Roberts University. Let me be honest. I've seen people do stuff. I never in a million years considered doing it myself. That was as foreign as if you'd asked me to walk on the moon. That seemed impossible. So this guy, he puts me on the spot. So I do what I've seen on TV. I've seen Oral Roberts do it on video. So I said, somebody here has an elbow that won't open up, right? And God wants to heal it. This woman stands up in the back and starts making her way to the front. Now she's walking. You can see there's this lump, this kind of a growth or something on the end of the elbow. And she walks kind of holding it up like that. But when she gets up on the platform, I am really working hard to remember those five steps. And I remember step one. And that step one was to ask her who she was and what her problem was. And we go through that. And while she's talking, I'm not listening because I'm, Lord, give me step two. Lord, give me step two. And so we get to step two, and I can't remember anything. And I'm panicking. You ever get in that spot where all eyes are on you, and I'm starting to shake because I'm really panicking. And so the guy who's sitting on the front row who gave me the microphone just says, dude, just heal her already. And so I, okay, why? And so I just panic and I go, pure Oral Roberts, slap my hand on that nasty knot. And I said, in Jesus' name, be healed. And when I took my hand off, that knot was gone. And she started screaming and I started screaming. And she's doing this and she's, and I am totally freaked out. I'm completely messed up. And the thing is, the place is probably, I mean, it's close to 1,000 people in this auditorium. And they kind of went nuts. I mean, it was so in your face. It was so right there. And it stunned everybody. So people start rushing toward the front of the platform like it's a high stage. But they come rushing up to it, and they're wanting to be first in line and handing up babies for me to hold or whatever. And they start lining out the rest of the team to do ministry. And but everybody knew that I was obviously the real healer in the house. So everybody wanted in my line. Because I'm an expert now, right? And so people start coming up one after another after another. And I began to pray for people. I prayed for, I don't know, for 2 hours after the service or after that moment, I prayed for people as they came in the line. And I've often said that I prayed for and saw more miraculous stuff on that first night I ever did this than I've ever seen since. It's like God pulled back heaven and he said, let me give you a taste of what it really can be. I want you to know that this is a real deal. And so I saw eyes opened. I saw deaf ears. I had a mute who was taught like this, had their teeth grit while they talked. And I didn't believe in demons, but I said through my translator, I went, that's a demon. Like I know. But I went, that's a demon. I don't believe in demons. I'm not going to tell anybody that right now because I'm kind of panicking. And so I went in Jesus' name, be healed. In Jesus' name, you go. You get out. What I'm just doing everything. I didn't know enough to know how to do that. I just knew if I threw enough things at it, maybe it'd wear it out. Right? Maybe I could get it just out of, if I persevere long enough and yell at it, maybe it'll go. But in that moment, it was in the name of Jesus, leave, in the name of Jesus, you go. And she set free and she starts talking and singing.
Oh, my.
And I was wrecked.
Yes.
My career was destroyed that day because I went, this is all I want. This is what I signed up for. And called my wife that night. She's in Arkansas. And I'm a bit excited. And I wake her up. Because she's there asleep. It's almost midnight when I get to the phone. I wake her up. So she's groggy. And I'm excited. And it's not a good combination for communication. And so as I began to try to like, this is what's going on, this is what's going on. You can't believe this is what happened, this is what happened, this is what happened. She says, I didn't understand a word you said, except that she said that you kept repeating, I know what I'm for.
Oh.
I know what I'm for. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Sorry, I didn't expect that. The kingdom of heaven has come near. And it seems like it's nearer and nearer and nearer. And God's inviting us into it to bring the kingdom of God. Listen to this. I want to talk to you a minute. John 5:24. John 5:24 says this. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life.
Yeah.
And listen to this. And will not be condemned. He has already crossed over from death to life. All right. That all will not be condemned. A lot of versions say will not be judged. Right? Those who have believed will not be judged. It's already been done through Christ and the cross. We will not be judged. We don't fear that. And we've already begun our eternity. Your eternity has already started. When you said yes to Jesus, you entered into eternity. And this word eternity here is in the Greek, it can be translated, it's the age to come. It's the new age or the next age. And so that concept that when we say yes to Jesus, we've actually moved from this present age, which is what scripture talks about. If you remember, it talked about this present age and an age to come.
Yes.
And what he's saying is that you are no longer a citizen of this present age. You are now a citizen of the age to come. This is what I'm trying to draw here. You'll hang with me a second. This is, I'm just doing a timeline. This is our present age. And the Israel used to think in terms of what they're looking forward to is the coming of a Messiah and the end of this thing here. This is the age that everybody lived in throughout time. And this age was supposed to go until God came and established his throne and on the earth. And then there would be this new age. They would call it the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. In the Jewish mind, it was just the rule and reign of David being restored on the earth. So this is what has been pictured throughout time. But what has happened is Jesus comes and he intersects right here. And what Jesus does when he intersects is it says that he ushers in this age to come. The one we've been waiting on here for God to come and intersect and the perfection of this new rule to be established, Jesus comes and does it early. That's actually why the demons responded the way they did when Jesus cast the demons out of the demoniac and said, have you come before the time? Are you here before it's time? What they're referencing is that this is where we're waiting on, and who are you? How did you get here? And so you have this interruption of time with Jesus and the cross. And the new age actually is introduced. Mark says that it is the age of the kingdom of God. The new age is at hand. It's right here. It's so close you can reach out and grab it. So that piece is here. It says the new age actually is being introduced at this point. Now, Jesus is still coming back, and we're still waiting for this absolute perfection and completion of the kingdom being fully manifest and the rule and reign of God to be complete. But what he has done is established this age here, in which we live in a bit of an overlap between the future and the present. So when you have come into Christ, you've already passed over from death to life. You've passed over from this age of death. They call this the present age. Sometimes it's referred to as the age of darkness. Sometimes it's referred to as this present evil age. This is the kingdom of light, age to come, the future. So what happens is that we cross over when we come to Christ and we actually move into a residency up here. We are no longer residents of this. We are residents of this. We are already living out part of our eternity. We are already entering into the future. I like to say that we are, as kingdom people, are inhabitants of the future. Now, what does that mean? How does that work? Well, I'm going to take you a little bit on a, I love talking about this, but let's go pray the Lord's Prayer. This is going to get into Matthew 6. I want to hang out there for a minute. Matthew 6, verse 9. Pray then like this. The disciples have been asking, how do we pray? We see something in the way you pray that's different than the way we pray. So how are we supposed to pray? And he goes through a little bit and he talks about, hey, it's not about all the fancy words you've got. You don't need all that. And, oh, by the way, verse right before this, oh, by the way, I already know everything you're going to say. I already know everything you need. So don't get too worried about whether you say it right. That's really the point here. I already know. But then he goes into this and we have this prayer. And he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then here where it gets powerful. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. Right? Now, hold on to that for a minute. In Hebrew thought, you see this a lot, we see it a lot in the Psalms, where they say something multiple ways. It's kind of seems like they say it two times, three times, four times, and they just twist it just a little bit. So you say the same thing multiple times. And they call that a parallelism. And this prayer is actually right here, a parallelism. What he's saying is your kingdom comes where your will is done. What does the kingdom look like? It looks like the will of God being manifest on earth just like it is in heaven. So it's not just a random thing. He's saying this is the definition of what it means to be part of the kingdom. It means where the kingdom is. How do you know where the kingdom is manifest? It's where God's will is being accomplished. Now, let me pose you a question. I think this is a hugely important question. Why do you think God would have us pray for his will to be done on earth? Because it's not being done on earth. Now, that's the practical answer. And why is that important? Because if we're going to do supernatural ministry, and if we're going to step in and be kingdom people, we're going to have to let go of a few things that I think hinder us. And one, and I'm going to get in trouble with somebody, it's okay, you don't have to agree with me. But sometimes we attribute to God things that are clearly the devil. And we've somehow bought this idea that God's will is whatever is happening out there. And ultimately, it's all going to work out for the good. It is all going to work out for the good, but not everything that is happening is God's will. And that's important if you're going to pray for the will of God to come. Because if I actually think God gave you a disease in order to teach you something, then what I actually am saying is that I don't have the faith or the right to go contradict that and to speak against it and invite God to heal it, because I might be coming in conflict with God's own will. And the reason he tells us to pray, let your kingdom come like it is in heaven, is because is not being done on earth right now like it is in heaven. We're seeing the works of the enemy and sometimes blessing it. How do you know if something Is God on earth or is not God? But this is just me. I'm just going to, this is how I do it. If I see something that I know would never be in heaven, I don't think God wants it here. If I see something that would never be in heaven, then I think I have the right to bring heaven into this situation. And that needs to go. That makes sense?
Yes.
Let your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. Yes. Then he goes on and he says, give us this day. Let me do something here. This right here. We have, in my mind, now this is, I'm going to take a little liberty, so bear with me. Let me get out in front of the camera. This is the present age. This is the age to come. This is the age of heaven. This is where, and when I say kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven are synonyms. It's not two different things. And the kingdom of heaven is not heaven. So don't confuse that when we talk about it. Kingdom of heaven is simply the way that Matthew talks about the kingdom of God, because if you remember, Matthew is writing to a Jewish audience. And a Jewish audience will not say the name of God. They will not write the name of God. And so in order for him to address the same thing, Matthew is using the word heaven, which he can write. So the kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God are synonyms in this case. And so what he's doing is he's saying, we are now residents in this kingdom of heaven. Now, what is in heaven? Let's just give me some pictures of what, when we enter this age, the complete reign of God and all the evils passed away, and we're living in the pure, that picture of eternity that we have. What is in that? What are some of the attributes of that world and that life? Somebody.
Peace.
Love. Peace. Oh, she says write it. Have you seen me write on one of these things? All right.
Light.
Joy. Somebody online, you got any answers?
Unity, no favoritism.
Unity. How about justice?
Yes.
No tears.
No tears. See, Jude, that's why I'm not writing. It's real. Right there is why I'm not writing. Okay. Something else. There's two or three hadn't been mentioned that are kind of obvious.
Love.
Let me see. What's it? How about pain? How about healing? How about prosperity? Ooh, that'd be one. That one gets difficult. When there's streets of gold thing, I'm kind of looking forward to going out and scraping on a little bit. All right, so those are kind of pictures we have of what this eternity could look like, right? That's kind of the way we paint it. I'm looking forward to that mansion. Now, we live in a motorhome, so trust me, a mansion got some benefits. But this is kind of how we dream and how we think. Now, here's the way I've begun to think about this. I'm dwelling with my feet right here, still stuck in this current, present, evil age. My reality, that's where I live. Now, in the vineyard, we know this. What do we call this? We call this living in the now and not yet. All right. Now, let me just say this. We live in the now. The not yet just helps us process some of the things that don't work the way we expect. We don't live in the not yet. We live in the now, and not yet is an explanation of when we don't see what we're asking for. If we're not careful, we begin preaching not yet, and we completely forget about now. I tell a story. I was in Costa Rica years ago. This is years ago. I was going to pray for I was doing a thing on healing and how God wants to heal. And everybody who wants to come up for healing, come up front. And first thing I see, they're rolling this paraplegic up in a wheelchair. And my face drained right out my bottom of my feet. You know, I was like, I'll take all this. I'll take the swollen ankle and the back and the headache for 20, Alex. You know, it's that kind of thing. I'm going to go with those. And I am just really dreading praying over this paraplegic in the wheelchair in front of everybody. And so I can't put it off anymore. They roll her up here in front. It's 100 people or so in the room. And so here we go. Oh, Lord, I have no faith for this. And my no faith for this manifests this way. I began to teach the congregation about the not yet of the kingdom before I even tried, right? Before I even started. That's where I began from. Because I was like, oh, that's going to be bad. This is going to be bad. And so I turn, and she's here in a wheelchair, and she's got a woman who's kind of rolling her up here with her. And so I turn this way, and I'm teaching on the not yet, and I feel a tap on my shoulder. And when I turn around, she's standing there going, I'm here. She has gotten up out of the chair. The crowd had started screaming. I thought they were just applauding my message. But they're excited because they see her getting out of her chair. And she begins to walk. And I'm like, man, I have camped in this. And I think the Lord is challenging all of us. This is the message of the kingdom. The kingdom message is now. Not yet helps us to process when we don't see it now. But this is the kingdom. So we come in and we are living in this season with our feet still mired a bit in the current present evil age. We see it all around us. But heaven is already here. And according to 1 Corinthians, according to Paul, he says that you have been given the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of your inheritance.
Yes.
So I don't have to go beg to say, Lord, would you please give me healing? Because healing is part of the inheritance. Maybe not now every time, but I know for sure that the Holy Spirit has given it to me. It's going to be mine at some point. Okay, you get me right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I've already said that we have stepped over from death to life, so we are now living in our future. So when I come in and I begin to say, Lord, would you release some of heaven's provision, some of these things that we've been at, we know is up there for us. We know this is part of our future. We know this is a done deal. But in this moment, right now, I need this in my present.
Mm-hmm.
I need healing. I need your provision. I need my pain to be released. I don't think we have to go before God and begin to beg Him to give us something that the Holy Spirit in us has already guaranteed us. It's a deposit. It's here. So when I come into a situation and I want to pray and I want to say, Lord, would you intervene in this situation? Somebody here is in pain. Somebody here needs a word of encouragement. Somebody here needs deliverance. What am I going to do? I'm going to, in my mind again, this is just me. You're not going to find this scripture, but this is just the way I think. Lord, can I reach my hand up? The kingdom of God is at hand. It's in reach. Can I reach into this realm and drag some of the future into the present to be released in the earth, just like it is in heaven. Can I say somebody has, you know, somebody's got a need for a new kidney, a new heart, something going on? When I'm praying, I'm literally going in my mind, Lord, I know you've got this for them. I know it's part of the future inheritance. I'm living in the future now, John 5:24. I'm living as part of, I've already crossed over, I'm already living that life of the age to come. So, Lord, would you allow me to reach in and take hold of that new heart, that new kidney,
yeah,
that new liver? And as I pray, Lord, in faith, would you allow me to drag that future into the present to be released on earth, part of our inheritance, a deposit. There's already a deposit on it. Can we bring it into the future, into the present, and release it right now? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right, let me finish this, because this is good, guys. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. The last few years I've seen this is this word for daily here has been translated a lot here lately. I've seen it in some of the newer releases, new versions. It can be translated bread of tomorrow, bread of the future. And so some translations are saying now, give us today tomorrow's bread. I heard John Wimber mention this many years ago. Don't think I fully understood it. And now it's starting to make more sense. There's an episode Jesus is talking with a Samaritan woman. And she's asking him for something. And he says something about the crumbs off the table, remember?
Yeah.
And she says, even dogs get the crumbs off the table. You remember this?
Yeah.
What Jesus had said was, bread, the healing is the children's bread. So take that idea for a minute. Healing is the children's bread. Lord, give us today tomorrow's bread. Now, if I think about that part of the prayer, yes, it does. Indeed, it means what we've always prayed. It is absolutely, Lord, would you give us the provision we need today? That's absolutely what he's saying. But I think it's important to say it this way. Lord, would you, out of the bread that is laid up for me from the future, from tomorrow, would you release some of that provision today? So the prayer actually comes into this super powerful kingdom declaration. Lord, let your kingdom come and be manifest right here on earth exactly the same way it is in heaven. Let your will be done here on earth the way it is in heaven. Lord, would you release all of the bounty that has been laid up for us? Would you release the promises that have been laid up for us? And would you release the provision of the future inheritance into our current situation? So when we begin to ask the Lord for the miraculous, for provision, for healing, for deliverance, we're not asking for something that he has to think about giving us. We don't have to ask for it as if we don't have some type of right to it. Not a right we earned, but a right the Holy Spirit has already bestowed. So how do you come in and you pray with courage? How do you come in and pray with confidence? You pray by saying, Lord, I know you've already provided this. I know I'm going to get it eventually. But right now, would you give me today some of tomorrow's bread? Would you release it today? And just as an aside, this is kind of, this is bonus. You don't have to pay for this. As I was reading through this passage, I was looking at this a couple of weeks ago. I love Matthew 6. So Matthew 6, we have this whole kingdom declaration, this prayer, all the meat in that is just amazing. But as you read on down, you get down to verse 25, and it gets amazing. You'll recognize some of this. Let's see if I can pull up. Where is my Bible at? Here, let me read this to you for a minute, because I think there's more connection here than I ever realized. We just had Jesus give us this crazy kingdom declaration prayer. He's already said, I already know everything going on. I already know what you need. You don't need a lot of words. Here, I'm going to give you the answer to how to work and live and pray into this kingdom reality, this new age that you're living in. And then we drop into verse 25, and it's like, for the first time, I actually connected those two passages. And it says this: therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat, drink, about your body, what you're going to wear. Is life not more important than food, and body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, they don't reap, they don't store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And who of you, by worrying, is going to add a single hour to your life? What about your clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor, they don't spin. And I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You, a little faith. Don't worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear. Your unbelieving friends are in the same place as that. They're running after all of that. Seek first. Seek first this kingdom of God. Seek first this kingdom of God and his righteousness. All that other stuff is going to be given to you. He's actually echoing what he just told us in the prayer. He's just elaborating on the prayer. You're praying this and still going out anxious. You're praying kingdom power and you're still going out afraid. You're praying for the provision of heaven to be released and you're going out panicked about provision. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. It's going to worry about itself. He said, your heavenly Father, he repeats what he said in the first part of the chapter. Your heavenly Father already knows what you need. He already knows what you're going to pray. He already knows what's happening. He's given you the keys to the kingdom in this kingdom prayer, and all the provision of heaven has been opened up to us. Stop worrying. Marie and I sold everything we got. I don't say this for applause or for notoriety or anything. I'm just telling you the reality. Sold it all, moved into a motorhome. 400 square feet of living space, heaven on earth. And, you know, walked away from income, walked away from security and all of those things. And it's all good. I mean, we don't regret any of it. It's been amazing. But there are times where we have to go back and say, Lord, How's this going to work? How's this going to work? And the repeating strain, all we keep hearing is seek first the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And all of these things are going to be added to you. And some of you here are in that place of uncertainty. Maybe jobs, careers have turned and you don't know what you're going to do next. It might be health things and you don't know how you're going to deal with it. It's 100 things that could be going on. And the word of the Lord is this. Seek first my kingdom. This kingdom provision is at your fingertips. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here. It's right here. And it says to trust him and ask him to bring heaven to earth in your situation and those of those people that you love and do life with. Ask for heaven to come to earth. Bring and drag the future into the present. It's already ours. It's already ours. You have not because you
ask. Yes.
Yeah. That's a hard one, isn't it? Can we receive communion together? Let's do that. We have the communion elements. If you're online, if you want to get your sacraments, and I'm going to pray and bless these. Just take a moment. Heavenly Father, you're good. We thank you for Holy Spirit, the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. We thank you for all the provision of heaven. Lord, you, through your blood, through your body, have opened the gateway that we can participate in heaven while we're still here on earth. I ask you to take these sacraments, the bread and the wine, and to bless them, to set them apart, to make them holy. And Lord, in this time, as we share in the communion, would you bring the reality of the price and the sacrifice to our minds, to our spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to take the bread and you're just going to dip into the wine. And if you're ready and you want to come, they come up now. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body given for you. You can do this to remember me. And in the same way, he took the cup and he blessed it. He said, this is my blood. It's given to form a new agreement between God and man, a new agreement between heaven and earth, to open up a brand new way of doing life with God. So drink this to remember. Come up.